Romans 9 and then Romans 11. Brother Madeline, you're not going with them, are you?
Oh, okay.
I thought you'd go back there and get the cookies. Cookies? No. Romans 9, verse 1 through 5, and Romans 11, 13. This is written by the Apostle Paul. The book before it is called the Acts of the Apostles, and that's where God robbed Peter to pay Paul. And so Paul is the main apostle for today, and Peter will back that up in 2 Peter chapter 3. So it's written to Roman Christians. Romans 9, verse 1. This is Paul's burden. Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. That's a burden, isn't it? It's not a burden about himself, though. It's about somebody else. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's Jews, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. That's his burden. Okay, now in chapter 11, verse 13, this is Paul's calling. I'll give you some thoughts this morning between a burden versus a call. Romans 11, 13. He says, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. That's his calling. Chapter 9 is his burden, and chapter 11 is his calling. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand these things. I pray you'd help us to see the difference between a burden and a call. And I pray that if someone lost soul in here this morning is not saved, that they'd come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and have eternal security in their soul. And their soul might find some rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you see, Paul is concerned for his kinsmen. Now, they're trying to shut this, they're trying to take away your heritage in our country. And Brother Marshall mentioned his heritage. And, of course, I mention mine quite often, you know, Dutch. And we Dutch have a little saying that goes, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much, you know, but that's just a little inside thing. But I believe you ought to keep your heritage. You ought to honor your heritage. This is a Bible thing to honor your heritage. When Esau sold out his birthright, he dishonored his heritage. Now, Paul was concerned for his kinsmen. And this past week or two, my wife and I went to Switzerland, Austria, Germany, Liechtenstein, primary reason for our 25th anniversary. But our secondary reason is that to train a man named Nico Verhoef how to make a reference Bible. And he wants to put a reference Bible like this one together for the Germans first and then the Dutch. That excites me. And then the third one will be the Friesland, which is where my grandmother came from, my father's side. But that's honoring our heritage. You know what the problem is in Europe? Is they don't got a good Bible there. That's the problem there in Europe. And if you want to see where America's heading, take a trip to Europe and you find out how bad it's going to get. But you see, when you take those trips, I get a burden for people. I get a burden for the area. And the problem is, that's not my call. My burden is to do something or try to get somebody to go there to help those folks. But my calling for me right now is here. And a person has to understand the difference between a burden and a call. I want to give you a couple of thoughts about that this morning. A burden. What do I mean by a burden? We often use this phrase, I'm burdened down. If you have a burden, you're suffering or you're going through the trials, the tribulation, and the task of life. If you would, look in Psalms 38, verse 4. The curse of sin has made life a complete struggle. The more sin that comes into a society, the more struggle comes. If you want to see somebody under a burden, just go to any nation that Romanism is the main religion, and you will see a people under a struggle. Constant struggle, trying to get ahead. Poor as could be. Psalms 38, verse 4, your sin will burden your heart. Psalms 38, 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. If you would, look at Matthew 20, verse 12. There's another thing. More sin gives more struggle. Not only that, more socialism brings more struggle. What do I mean by socialism? I mean, basically, there are two governments on this planet. One is the people control the government. The other is the government controls the people. The people who control the government, that's called a republic if it's done right. A government that controls the people, that comes under many names. Communism, fascism, Nazism, socialism, and so forth. And democracy, things like that. That's a government controlling people. That is a struggle that puts in your life. Matthew 20, verse 12. These guys are working hard, and it says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. This is just dealing with a work situation. But the idea is that the more socialist a society becomes, the higher the taxes are. Therefore, people struggle in order to try to pay those things. You see, people think taxes are meant to help supply the needs of the government, but that ain't the purpose of it. Taxes are meant to enslave the people. That's the purpose of them. And I'm not saying yay or nay how to do those things. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just telling you the purpose of them. Now, there are some people that their life is lived so they can cause greater burdens for some other people. It seems like it's their calling. They want to create more burdens for other people. And the Bible warns us about these things. Tyrants is the first one. If you would, look in Exodus chapter 1. There was a tyrant in Egypt. And this guy just thought it was his calling in life to inflict more and more burdens on people. Now, when you have the opportunity to travel, you learn a lot of things about different cultures. And you learn a lot of things about the Bible, too, if your eyes are opened. I did not realize all the castles that are throughout Europe. And what is that? That is some king of some little county or some little area who forced his people to build him a big edifice, a big castle. And when you go through these castles, you'll see all sorts of, sometimes you'll see Christian relics, so-called Christian relics or pictures, but also right interwoven with that stuff, you'll see demonic stuff. A goat head, you'll see the curse from, Papa John, and you'll see all sorts of stuff. It's demonic things. Now here's a taskmaster in Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. It says, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. For the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. That's some tyrant who's using people, inflicting burdens on him. They actually have in their head that it is their calling, it is their right, they were created by God in order to inflict more burdens on people. Where are we at in our country? You have sinners. As far as you have people running the oil supply and the gas supply, and do they need the extra money? Is it costing them this much? Obviously not. We had a guy back in March that gave us his testimony when he was on the Alaskan pipeline. Gas in Austria and Switzerland was over at $4 or $5 a gallon. Enjoy yours while we got it. Where's it heading? It's heading that route, folks. Ain't this encouraging? I'm telling you, there's burdens that are going to be inflicted on people. Sinners, tyrants are the first ones. Another one is Luke chapter 11, verse 46, and this is more prevalent in this country, but it is prevalent in every country. Luke 11, 46, here's a second group of sinners who likes to inflict more burdens on people. When you and I are supposed to try to relieve the burdens of people. Luke 11, 46, and he said, "Woe unto you also, ye..." Now, of course, we don't see that, do we? "Woe, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers." Now, a couple of times in this Bible, you'll find Jesus Christ says that to lawyers. "Woe unto you lawyers." But there's a worse crowd than that. I know that'd be hard to believe, but there's a worse crowd than them lawyers. And you'll find them over in Matthew 23, verse 4, and the Bible calls these guys Pharisees. Religious leaders. When you see a society where they talk about taking a vow of poverty, but yet their building and their structure is a multi-billion dollar structure, and their people are as poor as a church mouth, you're dealing with some of the biggest hypocrites on the face of the earth. Religious leaders. The music that we sung, how was your spirit after it was sung? These girls, these ladies sang these songs. Doesn't that feed your soul? This modern music that's put on this Christian television is nothing but a bunch of fleshly, satanic music, and it draws attention to the person. This kind of music draws attention to the soul and draws attention to Jesus Christ. This is the kind of music that glorifies God. This other stuff glorifies man. But here's these Pharisees, Matthew 23, verse 4. And if you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preaches a message hot and heavy, people often kind of say, "Boy, you're kind of mean on preachers sometimes. I am a compromiser compared to Jesus Christ. I haven't called him half the names that he's called him." Some of the biggest fakers in this world are these Christian television guys. Benny Hinn, Paul Crouch, Jan Crouch, and all these clowns. I don't know about a clown. You see, clowns have a lot of makeup on. Just turn any of them on TV and they're loaded with makeup, aren't they? Matthew 23, verse 4 says, "They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Who is that? Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in verse 2. That's the Orthodox Jews of his day. You have Pharisees who profess to be Christians too. They like to go around in long robes, Jesus Christ said. You know, you've seen somebody lately in a long robe? The TVs get them all sorts of free press. When we were in Europe, Jan and I got to stay in this little cabin, and I was running through the channels on the telly. You know, it's all German, couldn't understand a cotton-picking thing. But there were 26 channels, and 16 of them had the Pope and company on there. Free press. What are they doing? They're giving press to somebody who wants to put more burdens on people. That's the biggest ones who put more burdens on people. They won't tell you about your sin. They won't tell you about your Savior, Jesus Christ, that wants to relieve your burdens. All they want to do is they want to magnify themselves. Now, a burden. When you see a burden in life, there are trials and tribulation, the task of life. Everybody's got burdens. Everybody's going through struggles. Now, there's a call also. The Bible talks about a call. If you would, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. What do I mean by that? A call. A call is your service after you got saved. When the Lord saves your heart and he gives you a peace in your heart that passes all understanding, and your burdens of your sins are lifted and you have such a joy, you have to tell somebody about it. And that's your calling. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world." Now this calling, salvation relieves the burden from your soul as far as your sin, but this calling helps encourages you to find out other people that have a burden and try to relieve that. That's a calling. Now I'm not dealing with your vocation. You'll have a certain vocation. If you would back up to Ephesians chapter 4. Now there are certain vocations. We have different vocations, different occupations. But that occupation is a calling if you're saved. Now, you may not like your job, but it doesn't really matter. You are there for a purpose. Somebody on your job, the Lord wants you to witness to. They have a burden, and God wants you to help relieve that burden. And it's a vocation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearance one another with love, or forbearing one another with love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now, if the Lord would call you into a ministry where you take more time outside of your vocation to preach for Jesus Christ, then that would be a blessing where the Lord gives you that. And what is that? That ministry or the call to preach, it's an urgency or desire that can only be satisfied when you fulfill what God wants you to do. The call to preach. Going someplace else and witnessing for Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to go across the street to witness to your neighbor, you're not willing to go across the world to witness for Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, the Lord has a calling for all of us. Now, it may not be what's called a full-time mission or a missionary or a preacher or anything like that, but yet the Lord will give you a desire that nothing can satisfy that except to fulfill that desire God's given you. That's a call. Now, Paul, in Romans chapter 9, had a burden for the Jews. But his call was for the Gentiles. And if a person doesn't understand the differences between those two things, a person can take, there's been many a preacher got out of the will of God because he visited New York City and saw all the need that was there and just picked up and went over there and got out of the will of God because he had a burden for something going on over there in New York. Now, wherever you go, when you see people suffering, I don't think you're right with God if you don't get a burden for them. I mean, it's going to affect you. And the call, but the call supersedes the burden. If you would, look at what the Lord, how the Lord reacted about these things in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Now, I don't care where you go in this world, there's a burden everywhere as far as God's work goes. Nico Verhoef has been in Austria. He has a church in Liechtenstein, which is now that people drive over to Austria. He's been there, I think, 3 years. And there were 8 people in church that morning. You say, 3 years? That's how hard it is there. That's how hard those people are. Liechtenstein is the wealthiest country on the face of the earth per capita, and those people could care less about God. I mean, we got out in the streets when the thoroughfares were the people walking by, street preaching, you know, they'd preach in German, I'd preach in English, and the same old reaction what you got going on here in this country. People mocking, people laughing, they take a tract, throw it on the ground, they don't care about God, they think they got everything. And boy, when the chickens come home to roost, they are going to be shocked. They're not prepared to meet God. In a town, St. Gallen, they got a church there also, about 6 or 7 people. 2 brothers got saved, one's 34, one's 33, and the one that's 34 had been shooting up dope for 15 years. He was the worst, that they call him the worst sinner in that town. 60 cops at one time was trying to chase him down to catch him. The cops said that he was the most deceptive, he was the smoothest that they've ever had to deal with, and he gave his public testimony on his hometown in a thoroughfare where people were everywhere, and he started out saying, apostasy, drugs. And he gave his personal testimony about Jesus Christ in the street. And while Nico was street preaching, and then I did some preaching, and another fellow did some preaching, and when this guy got up, there were five plainclothes cops. I didn't see them, but he knew who they were. I noticed two or three, you know, kind of strange fellas that I kind of figured were some cops. And then he told Nico, he said, I saw three or four drug dealers that I knew, my old cohorts, and I saw several customers. And there were five, you know, plainclothes cops there. And one of them gave him the thumbs up like this. And he said, if you stick with those guys, you'll make it okay. Guy just got off dope. Been shooting up heroin for about 15 years. He'd talk people out of their money. He'd talked them out of thousands of francs. That's money in Switzerland. But you see, when you see all those people, what's going on? Look how Jesus Christ responded. Matthew 9, verse 36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that it will send forth laborers into the harvest. There are over 6 billion people on this planet, and you know the vast majority of them are going to go to hell. You know your neighbor's going to go to hell if you don't tell them about Jesus Christ. The sad thing about this people walking on this planet, the vast majority, if I had a guess the percentage, I would dare say 90% go to hell. If God takes that tithe or a tithe to get saved, I'd say the vast majority go to hell. Buddhism, we witnessed to a Buddhist over there in Austria trying to work her way to some utopia, and she had no peace in her heart, none whatsoever. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. But you see, there's a call. What if God would call you? Do you see a need and want to fill it? Do you see a burden and want to try to relieve it? You see, God's mercy helps you and I to help relieve people's burdens. Now, the ideal situation is when your burden and your calling are together. That's an ideal situation. Some of you remember Mike Roberts when he would preach about Vietnam. He hated Vietnamese people. He was in the Vietnam War. He killed them. And one time he was preaching about Vietnam, and he said, why aren't there no missionaries in Vietnam? He said, we need missionaries in Vietnam. And that night the Lord said, how about you? He said, not me, I hate them. He did, he hated them. Well, God called him over there. And if you see Mike Roberts, he loves him. God changed his heart. You talk about a missionary that loves those people, boy, he loves those people in Vietnam. When that calling and that burden are together, that's an ideal situation. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. If you would look in Exodus chapter 18, here's Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God called this man to help carry the burdens of people. Exodus 18, verse 23. Might be 19. Not 18. It says, verse 22, there it is. And it says, and let them judge the people at all season. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. One of the great blessings in life is when you have a burden, you have somebody else to to carry it with you. You know, the deacons we got in this church, we got some good men. And we got a lot of good men in this church. We got good ladies too, but boy, I appreciate being around good men. Men that understand what a burden's about. And trying to help carry the burden of this place. Moses was a man that had a burden. And he wanted to help carry people's burdens. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. This is your duty in life. If God has saved your soul and has given peace in your heart, why be an ingrate and just keep it for yourself? Tell somebody else about the joy you have in Jesus Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how you demonstrate love. Fulfilling the law of Christ is to bear somebody else's burden with them. Cry with them. Rejoice with them. Back up, look in Romans chapter 13. You'll see where this is a demonstration of love. You have a lot of these Christians on the TV talking about love and they don't know anything about it. When I get around some Christian, they always talk about love. I never turn my back on them. Because as soon as you turn your back on them, they'll take a knife and stab you right in the back. Because they don't know what love's all about. These people don't realize that in order to demonstrate your love, you got to get down and get dirty with these people. Get right with them. Help them out. I'm not saying getting sinful. I'm not saying that. You stay clean and try to stay holy with Jesus Christ, but you're willing to go where they are. Bear their burdens. Romans chapter 13. This is fulfilling the law of Christ, and this is how you demonstrate love. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Bearing one another's burdens is fulfilling of the law. Love is a fulfilling of the law. And you know what Jesus Christ did for you and I? Is he bore our burdens on Calvary. Jesus Christ died once. Even though some clowns this morning try to crucify him again, then they can eat him. Jesus Christ died once at Calvary. And he did that, why? To bear our burdens. And the thing is, you need to cast your burden on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord. And one more place, look if you would at Matthew 11 about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a burden? A burden about sin that's, you have an assurance in your heart that you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, the Baptist Church can't save you. The Methodist Church cannot save you. The Lutheran Church cannot give you peace in your heart. The Catholic Church cannot relieve your sin burden. Being a Buddhist, you can sit there, cross your feet, hold your hands just so and say, Om, all you want. You're still going to have that sin load on your shoulders. The only way you're going to get that relieved is to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you think Muhammad could say something like that? Muhammad wants you to sacrifice your son for him. God gave his son for you. There's a Buddhist that Nico witnessed to. In this one place, we had to park and go to the street preaching area, and he got talking to this Buddhist. And Nico said to this Buddhist, he said, what did Buddha ever do for you? He couldn't answer it. Buddha has never done anything for anybody. He just smiled and said, Jesus Christ died for me. Amen. And that Buddhist was so dumbfounded. And then we walked away, and then the Buddhist thought of something, and then he yelled at him, something like that. Too late, pal. Buddha didn't do anything for you. Muhammad hadn't done anything for you either. And neither has Mary. And neither has this pope or the next pope. They haven't done anything for you. And they won't. Why? Because they're sinners. The only one that can do something for you is sinless, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can say that. Because he's sinless. He died a perfect death and he was buried and rose again the third day and had over 500 people testify to that fact. And when you have hope like that, you can tell people about it and you can be rejoiced about these things and be glad to tell people about it and pass out tracts and witness for Jesus Christ because that's our calling. And the thing is, we need to have a burden for the people.
as God has called us to serve these people, you need to have a burden for them and care for them and realize their tough time. It's everywhere. A burden versus a call. Shall we pray? Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to see that there are people hurting everywhere. Sin is rampant. Witchcraft is on the rise. And more people are hurting. And they don't have peace in their heart and peace in their soul. The world's greatest news is that any person can come to Jesus Christ, get saved, and have a peace in their heart. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, thinking about yourself and yourself only. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you personally know that you're going to heaven? Why don't you if you don't? God gave us the Bible so we could know. Jesus Christ came and died so you could know. God wrote this Bible out so you can know for certain where you're going when you die. And if you don't know, the reason probably is why is because some religious leader has hid this truth from you. Well, I'm here to tell you the world's greatest news, that you can know for certain you're going to heaven. And you can have a joy in your heart and have a peace in your heart that passes all understanding by coming to Jesus Christ. Do you know for certain that you're going to heaven when you die? If you're not certain of that and you're saying, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die," I would like you to pray for me. If you don't know for certain and you'd like me to pray for you, I would be glad to do that. By an uplifted hand, you're just saying, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know for certain I'm going to heaven." Anybody in here? Just an uplifted hand. Not going to embarrass you or anything. We just want you to have the peace that we have. Anybody in here? Okay, the instruments plays, the altar's open. You come to Jesus Christ and He'll relieve your sin burden. He'll take it off your shoulders. If God has relieved your burdens, if He has relieved your sin burden at Calvary, then are you willing to accept His call? Young fellas, what are you planning for your life? I don't say a whole lot about this as far as a call to preach goes. I rarely mention it. But have you considered it? Well, I got plans. Yep, that's a problem. We ought to fulfill the will of God. There's no greater joy than to fulfill the will of God. Stay right in the perfect center of God's will. Lord, thank you for a blessed book. Thank you that salvation is sure and free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here who's not certain they're going to heaven, oh, I pray that they'd be concerned about that. And I pray that they'd know that because of sin, they deserve to go to hell. And we don't want anybody to go to hell, but because of sin, the vast majority of people go to hell. And that's a sad, sad statement to make, but it's so true. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to see that other people have burdens. And I pray that you'd help us to bear those burdens and demonstrate our love and concern for them by helping them with their burdens. But the burden of sin, only you can relieve by coming to you as Savior. Thank you that salvation is sure and free in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed.